Blog Talk Radio.
You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I said some prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to say it. I don't know what got you from all of your enemies. Who you know open the sea? Them waters was bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boils, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. To Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only have I know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. I'm the reason you in the captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemies. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast, daily. Think I don't love you, y'all my babies. Gave my son, must be crazy. Come out that system, come out of that lady. They got that military, it would not faze me. It would not move me, it would not graze me. Remember Egypt, I did all that for my people. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.
Hallelujah, Bishop Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Abba, I give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and to your most precious name. And I thank you for the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon me, my children, my loved ones. I thank you for this day of life. I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for sound mind. I thank you for daily sustenance. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. Thank you for sending your son, through whom we have been washed of our sin and our iniquity. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, which strengthens us and leads us and guides us that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. I thank you for all these, Abba, and I ask you to cleanse me by the blood of Yahushua, that I be worthy to stand before you, that I be worthy to stand before your people, and that I be worthy to speak your word according to your divine will. Abba, as we discuss your word this Sabbath morning. Uplift the hearts and the minds of those who hear, that we may come into the unity of your spirit as it pertains to walking with Yahushua, your word, by whom all things were created. For those of us, Abba, who are suffering mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I pray that you bring healing according to your divine will. Abba, we ask these things in the name of your Son, because according to your word, whatsoever we shall ask in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we shall receive. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth. And welcome to a special broadcast of Bina Torah, Understanding Torah, as our Mure, Ahav Al, is unable and unavailable to begin his series this Sabbath morning. We pray that Abba blesses him as well as his household with recovery and healing. In the meantime, I'd like you all, whoever is listening, to send me a text to let me know whether or not I'm coming through clearly. I want to make sure everybody can hear. Sometimes technology is not cooperative. I want to make sure that at the very least, technology is cooperating with us this Sabbath morning. So, you got me a text. Torah Rabba Aki. Hallelujah. Torah Rabba. All right. Here we go. So, Abba, as an old saying goes, works in mysterious ways. You know what I mean? Because this morning, you know, you wake up and Abba sometimes, he likes to get you up early. And I don't want to say in the morning necessarily, because that's that old way of thinking still. We touched on that a little bit when we were away doing Sukkot. Matter of fact, I may even share that with you all who are listening. And as a part of changing the way that we think, you know, when it comes to the days of the week, right, one of the things that we want to start practicing now, okay, and to keep it simple, we're going to utilize the days, as they say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, et cetera. You know what I mean? But one of the thoughts that we talked about while we were away, as far as counting time. Now, we know, according to Holy Scripture, a day begins at sunset. There was evening and there was morning. Okay? So, currently, we're in the daylight portion of the Sabbath. When the sun sets, we enter into the first day of the week, which is known throughout the world as Sunday, or depending on the language that you speak, some other term. But what we want to start fixating our minds on is that when the sun sets, we are now entering into the next day. So when the sun sets this evening, it's actually going to be Sunday evening. And of course, when the sun rises tomorrow morning, it'll be Sunday day. And then when the sun sets again, it'll be Monday evening. This is something that we want to start practicing so that we can get our minds in tune or in unison with Abba's word. So, back to the point. During Sabbath evening, Abba woke me up during the middle of the night. And the thought that he had was walking with Yahushua. So, not knowing that events will pan out the way that they did, I just sent out a text sharing and more or less asking the question in regard to us as individuals and where we are in our journey with Yahushua. As it so happens, Abba wanted a little more than just a question to come forth. So praise, glory, and honor be to his holy name. But as has been reiterated time after time, over and over, he has been guiding this ship the entire time. Whether you believe or not, whether you accept or not, has been guiding. So prayerfully, at least for those of that Yahweh can, you can see the witnesses that Abba has given in regard to that. So what we want to talk about today is walking with Yahushua. Now, you know how Abba do things. Abba likes to, as the Moray from Sabbath evening brings forth, each time he brings forth the word that Abba puts on his heart, can it be that simple? So the thought Abba gave to me, of course, let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, simply teaching us that everything you see around you, you step outside your door for a moment and do a 360-degree turn, and whatever you lay your eyes on, guess what? Abba created it. Some people may say, well, hold up. He didn't build the house across the street, or he didn't build the car that's in the driveway. Yes, he did, because all of the raw materials necessary to construct everything you see around you, guess where that raw material comes from? Because man does not create material. Man did not create the physical world. Man simply discovered how to utilize the raw materials that are already present. So indirectly, yes, Abba created it. And not only from the basis of the raw material, it is Abba who gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding to build a house, to build a vehicle, or whatever else you see around you. But he wants us to glean from that verse that everything that is in the physical world, Abba has created. Of course, we know it was through his word, Elohim, as the scripture itself teaches. In the beginning, Elohim, or mighty ones, or powers brought this into being, right? You go down a little further, he says that there's a conversation that took place, you see? And in that conversation, we learn, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Other words, when human beings were created, starting with Adam, the first man, there's something that Abba wants to teach us about him. So think about that. Because what we want to start off with today is the simple task of walking and what it means to walk. Everything that Abba gave, matter of fact, there's a passage. Let's turn to that. We've been talking about some keys, you know, keys to understanding the word that Abba has given us. One of those keys, as we have discussed, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now, when Brother Shaul wrote that, those things that were written aforetime were actually a reference to what we refer to now as the Old Testament or the Tanakh, or as has been coined by one of the Moray, the testimony of Yahweh Elohim, right? We have learned is that anything that is contained there is written to teach us something. We can look at it in a practical sense, at face value, the various life lessons that we learn, but we also know that scratching the surface just a little bit opens the door to other revelation, because we also know that the Torah, or the word of Yah, is spiritual. It was given by the Spirit, meaning that it's given to teach us something else. But there's another passage, too. You want to tie into the idea of what we learn And that comes from Romans chapter 1, Brother Shaul again. And this one comes from, let's see, Romans chapter 1. And verse 20. And listen to what he says here. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that's the point that we really want to focus on in regard to walking. When we walk, what exactly is it that we're doing? And I want everybody to just focus on the physical act of walking. Matter of fact, if you're home, you should be home. Or if you're out and about, sometimes people like to take drives, you know, enjoy this nice, cool fall breeze and this beautiful rain that's falling here, at least in Baltimore City. Very light, misty, slash drizzle, nevertheless raining. Think about what it means to walk. And what you simply do, as I believe one song said, you put one foot in front of the other. Think about that. Step by step, one foot in front of the other. And think about it from the time that we as children learn how to walk. Now, our minds may not remember that far back, but for those who have experience with children and watching them eventually learn how to walk. Think about the process. And as we think about that process, right, think about everything it took for that child to eventually get to the point of first turning over. Because when that child is born, it's not like the animal kingdom. And I've seen various videos, and I'm sure some of you have seen various videos of different types of animals when they're born, and they like walk, they seem to be walking right away. Not so with human beings. Why did Abba set it up that way? Why is it that when infants come forth from their mother's womb as tiny children, why is it that they don't come out the womb and just, you know, kind of get themselves together and eventually stand up and start walking? That's not how Abba made us. But everything that's written aforetime is written for our learning, right? We understand the process by which Abba creates other human beings, which is why he referred to that first woman as Hawa, being the mother of all living. See? But let's take it back. Think about that infant. Think about that infant when first born, and they can't do anything on their own. You lie them on their back, they're going to stay on their back until they learn how to turn over. And after they learn how to turn over, the next thing they have to learn is how to push themselves up on their hands and their knees. And after they learn to push themselves up on their hands and their knees, now they have to start learning how to take steps by crawling, which is still, to some degree, a form of what? Walking. Think about how they start off. There's a lesson there. There's a practical lesson. Because one of the things that we often do when we go before the Most High, we get on our hands and we get on our knees and we prostrate before him in humility, honoring him as the mighty one and creator of the heavens and the earth, the king of kings, if you will. Okay? But then going back to that example, right? After that child now learns how to crawl, the next thing that child is going to start doing is pulling himself up or herself up on something and learning how to stand on their own two feet. Now, initially, what they're going to do, they're going to hold on, whether it be to the couch, whether it be to a table, they're going to hold on to something because there's some other skill they have to learn before they actually can start walking. And that skill is what we refer to today as balance. Think about that. In order for us to walk, we have to have balance. Now, after that child stands up, you're going to start to see that child hold on, and then that child's going to move their hand, and you're going to see they're going to be a little wobbly, and they're going to fall back. Then they're going to climb up again. They're going to hold on. They're going to get a little wobbly when they let go. Then they're going to fall back. Eventually, they're not going to get as wobbly anymore. And what they're learning, they're gaining now the confidence to be able to take that first step. And when they take that first step, of course, we know what's going to happen. They're going to fall. Think about that. See, everything that Abba has laid out for us in the physical world, if we grasp what his word is saying, it was given to teach us something. Nothing happens, nothing occurs in the physical world for no reason. Everything, especially when you're talking about the growth and the development of human beings, it's there for a reason. What are we supposed to learn from it? Because our topic, once again, walking with Yahushua. See? Something that Abba helps us to come to the realization of. When we come into this way of life, this is what Holy Scripture teaches. We're babes. Matter of fact, let's look at a passage. Once again, Brother Shaul, who happened to be given some pretty good keys there. Listen to this. This is coming from Ephesians. Give me 1 second. And the passage that I'm looking up is the reference that he makes to us being babes. Okay. I'm sorry, not Ephesians, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So there's a thought that he's about to share with us. Okay? Wrote this letter. This is his first letter written to the assembly in Corinth. And he's dealing with several different issues that's been going on. In the midst of dealing with these issues, he's come to this point of the letter. He says again, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So what we have learned, as was mentioned earlier, for we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So he's making a contrast in that passage. We learn, of course, we can glean, of course, that the Torah itself is of the spirit, meaning that it's of something that's a little higher than what we are because we are carnal initially. When we get into what our human nature is, when the scripture talks about how the carnal mind is enmity, what we've come to learn is that it is a reference to our human nature, and every human being starts off that way. So he's making a point here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, indicating that there was still some growth needed. How do we know that? Let's continue. But as unto carnal. Now, we know based on the history of the Corinthian church, they did have the Holy Spirit. But they were still walking in their carnality, which is why Brother Paul said he couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual. Listen to what he says. But as unto carnal, as unto babes in Messiah. Why is that? So what he gave humanity is the whole process of childbearing and child rearing, so we can look at that, examine that, analyze that, and learn something about our spiritual walk. Because that's what this is. It is a spiritual walk. Okay? He says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. And anybody that is familiar with raising children, whether they are yours or somebody else's, a child doesn't start off eating meat. They start off with the milk. And I believe one of the teachers brought this forth fairly recently. Okay? And I'm only mentioning this in the context of the example that we're looking at. The analogy that's being made in regard to a child learning how to walk and how we can use that as a platform to learn what it means to walk with Yahushua. So we start off as babes. okay? We receive that word, and you know what we have to do? Just like that infant. Because we just lay on our backs initially. Now we got to learn how to turn over, you know? We got to learn how to scoot up on our hands and our knees. See, that teaches us humility. That's why Mashiach Yahushua, when he was teaching, at one point he said that we need to be converted and be like little children. See? Everything that Yahushua taught is based on his word, and it's based on the human experience. Because when you think about it, contrary to what a lot of people have done in regard to the translation of the word, and we talked about this before, when it comes to the comparison of Ivrit, which is Hebrew, and Yavan, which is Greek, Hebrew is a concrete language, whereas Greek is an abstract language, and the fact that Holy Scripture was initially written in Hebrew teaches us that Abba intended for his word to be relatable. That's why he uses the human experience. That's why he tells us the stories and the various narratives of this person and that person. He's teaching us that we need to focus on the human beings that we are and learn what it means to walk even with him. So going back to that analogy, as babes in the Messiah, we have to first learn how to turn over. We have to learn how to get on our hands and our knees, and eventually, we have to learn how to crawl, and I'm sure people are familiar with this saying, before we walk. All of this is in submission and humbling ourselves before the Most High. So let's look at another passage. Let's go to Devarim, which is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Listen to what we're taught here. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore unto your father. And you shall remember. See what he's saying? You shall remember. So this is what we're doing right now. We are remembering as instructed what the process is for a child, which is a small person, little man, little woman, right? Or as it says, man child or woman child, the process that they go through or we go through before we actually walk. He's teaching us something. It's like this. I'm going to get back to Devarim. Y'all remember, for those who've been here for some time, y'all remember when Rabbi used to say, what we don't want to do is just read over the word, right? We've heard that, again, reiterated over and over by various teachers throughout the years, correct? So let's build on that. Not only do we want to just read over the word, we don't just want to read over the word, excuse me, we don't just want to look over our lives and our life experiences. No matter how minute it may seem, no matter how trivial it may seem, Abba gives us this human experience to teach us, okay, like what we're talking about today. Okay, so we're babes, right? And let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, picking up in verse 2. It says, and you shall remember all the way with Yahweh, your mighty one, led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. Now let's go back to our example. The example I'm saying right now is the two types of people that we have in the world. Okay? You can simplify and say those who serve Yahweh Elohim and those who do not serve Yahweh Elohim. We understand that those who do not serve Yahweh Elohim are still connected to that old serpent, which we refer to them as the seed of the serpent. And then you have those, of course, who are in the process of serving and walking with Yahweh Elohim as those who are the seed of Elohim, right? Okay, so when we look at Israel, Israel is now coming forth out of what Egypt symbolized being the world system. So it was necessary for the Most High to do what? Humble them. Now, let's pay attention. Let's make some comparisons now. Let's take it back a little further, okay? For those who are familiar with being pregnant and carrying a child, I believe that the time frame is 40 weeks, right? 40 weeks, and after 40 weeks, guess what comes forth? A child is born. New life comes forth. So now let's make a comparison, because everything that Abba gave aforetime was written for our learning. It is not a coincidence that Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because a birth was about to take place. Remember? Remember that time Rabbi was teaching us? And he said, when we think about Israel being in the wilderness, don't focus on just a whole bunch of people. And when they came out of Egypt, I believe it was 600,000 men on foot plus women and children. So that's quite a few people. But what we were taught to do is to simplify and look at one man. So that one man, throughout the 40 years, he was going through a process. That process is comparable to when a woman is with child for 40 weeks. Now, when that 40-year period was up, it's comparable to the 40 weeks when a child is about to be brought forth. So now Israel, about to be brought forth as a new creation. Everybody follow me, hopefully. Israel is brought forth as a new creation. Now, Moshe and Devarim, he is about to transfer the power to Yahushua or Joshua, right? Not to the old generation, because the old generation, those are the ones who died off, but to the new generation, or we can refer to as the new creation, right? So what he's doing, he's reiterating to them, and you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your mighty one led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Now, let's go back to the analogy of the infant. Okay? Let's go back to that analogy. That infant, when he first starts off, needs to learn how to roll from his back to his hands and his knees, learn how to push up, learn how to stand up, then eventually take that first step. As new believers, one of the first things we have to do, we have to learn how to turn off of our back. Because that's where that old serpent had us. Think about being in a position where you're on your back and you're helpless, because that child can't move. But at some point, he has to learn how to turn over on his own. What is Abba teaching us? We have to learn about what he has given us so that we can turn over. And eventually, once we're able to turn over, you know what we have to do? We have to prostrate ourselves before him on our hands and our knees. Now, of course, don't just for limit that to the physical act of it. This is something that takes place in our hearts and our minds. As believers starting off, at some point, you know what we have to learn how to do? We have to learn how to pull up, and we have to stand on Abba's word. We got to stand on it. Think about, and this is something that we talk about, again, while we're away, and this is something that we talk about periodically. Think of, and I keep saying think about it because, you know, I was asked to remember these things. So how many times throughout the past year that we as a group have been together have we reminisced and talked about all the people that came through Beth Yahweh congregation / camp, the families that came and went, the individuals that came and went, right? How many times have we talked about that? See? And when you think about new people coming through, they were babes. They just learned how to turn over. They just learned how to get on their hands and knees and be humble before the Most High. They had to learn how to eventually pull themselves up and have to get balanced. But what happened, they left. Teaching us. They didn't stick with it. They left in a state where they were still trying to get their balance. Okay? Think about that. And God, again, he's helping us by utilizing what an infant goes through. Some of us went through that period, learned how to get our balance, and eventually we figured out we can let go and we can stand on that word. Not everybody has been successful in doing that. And this is real talk. This is not bashing anybody, so I don't want people to think negatively. We are learning according to what Abba has established in the life of a human being, what we as individuals, babes in the Messiah, go through. So we have to learn how to stand first, and then at some point we have to learn how to take that first step. And we have to learn how to walk. See? We have to learn how to walk, putting one foot in front of the other. And let's get back to what we're talking about, walking with Yahushua. Now, when we talk about taking steps, think about that. What is he teaching us? The fact that we have to take steps. There are steps that we as believers, as Israel, as we learned last Shabbat, see? I believe the move, he reiterated that last night, Sabbath evening. Once we come into the body of the Messiah, whatever we were in the past no longer exists. That was the intent and purpose of last Shabbat lesson. To see things from a different perspective. To claim to be a Gentile or a heathen or a pagan implies that you're still practicing those same ways. That's why Brother Shaul, what he said, remember in times past. That's what you used to be, in other words, but now that you are made nigh through Mashiach Yahushua, you are one of the fellow citizens of the household of the saints. That's what we are now. We're not unrighteous. We're not practicing sin. But we're now practicing righteousness by living according to the Torah, which is righteous, the commandments, which are righteous. Will we make mistakes? Of course we will, because we're still human. And sometimes, guess what? Even after you learn how to walk, you know what you're going to do sometimes? You're still going to trip. We talked about this in our past Wednesday class. One of the reasons why he said how my word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Not only is he lighting up so we can see what's ahead of us, he's also lighting so we can watch our feet when we walk, because we want to make sure that we don't trip over anything. Because that old serpent, you know what he's done? He's laid snares. It's as if when we're walking, we can potentially step on a mine. You familiar with what a minefield is? I stepped on quite a few. Paying attention, not being alert. And that's what we often do. Because, see, sometimes what we lose sight of, that old serpent, that opponent, has wisdom, has knowledge, has understanding that we don't have. Some people may say, well, hold up, brother. We got the wisdom, knowledge, and understand of Yahushua HaMashiach. I agree 100% with that. But guess what? We have to grow to that. We don't possess the fullness of it yet. This is how that old serpent can sometimes slide in and put that mind field out in front of us without us even knowing it. Or set that tiny wire trap without us even knowing it. Sometimes we get caught up into that bear claw. You know what I mean? That may not be the appropriate name for it, but you know exactly what I mean. Those traps that they set for the animals, and then once the animals step in it, it closes up and clamps their leg. Sometimes we get caught in those. Because if you pay attention to whether it be movies or TV shows, when they're setting these traps up, what they often do, they cover it over so it just looks like regular nature, and you never know what you're looking for. See? But somebody who's experienced knows what it is that they're looking for. So in order for us to gain that experience, talking about one of the methods of teaching, right, which is yada. The yada is based off the term knowledge, and that term knowledge is based off of experience. So one of the ways that we teach, we utilize what we've actually gone through because that is what we know. Nobody can ever take away our experience. So, referencing myself, now that I have stepped on the mine, that I have tripped the tripwire, now that I've gotten my foot clamped by the bear claw, now I've gained some experience. Now, I'm a little wiser on what it is I need to look for. Because I had to go through it. And we're still talking about walking with Yahushua. I'll be, what, 30-something years old in this way of life. Still tripping. Still getting caught up with the trip wires and the mind and the bear claw. Because the opponent, he still has a one-up on every last one of us. The moment we think he doesn't, that's the moment I got you. See? But we have to learn. And all of this is being said in the context of balance. How many of you are familiar with the term equilibrium? Right? I believe that Murray Birwal, when he was going through the census, right? And when he was talking about the census, he was dealing with, at one point, the ears. And one of the things that takes place when we lose hearing, it breaks our equilibrium. In other words, it affects our balance. Why do you suppose Abba set it up that way? Because remember, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. In other words, he created man to have all these different experiences that we experience, because you know what? He wants to teach us about the invisible, about the spiritual, from what has already been created. So why is it that when the equilibrium of, I mean, what we hear affects how we walk? Think about that. Does that now mean that we can be taken off balance simply by hearing the wrong thing? Think about it. Remember, what that old serpent intends to do to each and every one of us is to cause us to not focus on the word of Yah. How do we learn that? Where are we taught that? We taught that in the garden. The very first question that was asked by that old serpent. You see? Funny how that all tied in. Because that's how that old serpent likes to do. He likes to come through the back door. See? So he asked that question, did Elohim say? Simple question, right? But look at the damage that was done by instilling doubt in his word. Did Allah, he said, in other words, now that the doubt has been established, guess what that caused? It broke the equilibrium. Now, you've got options. You've got options. See, that's the importance of understanding the intellectualism. You see? Which breaks down into what? Religion, science, and philosophy. That's what it breaks down into. So now, what I can do, I can ask questions that seem to be logical, that seems to be reasonable, but the intent and purpose behind these questions is to get you to stop listening to the word of Yah. Because it could be this and it could be that, and you're arrogant to think that it's just this, even if the word says it's just this. Think about it. This is what we're faced with when it comes to walking with Yahushua. Once he can break that balance, you lose your step. Let's tie this together. Let's make sense of it. Think about the idea of being sober-minded, right? What does he mean? So anybody who has ever been in... Now, one thing I can say for myself... Yes, I have been intoxicated, but to my knowledge, I don't recall being intoxicated to the point where I couldn't walk and I was staggering and tripping over my feet and falling all over the place. I have never been that intoxicated, but I've seen people that intoxicated. So the intoxication, what that's teaching us, it affects what? Our walk. So if the intoxication physically affects our walk, now we have to tie that into what we're being taught spiritually when Holy Scripture teaches us to be sober-minded. This is not saying that we can't drink alcoholic beverages. That's not the point. But what is it exactly that causes us to be drunken? Keep these things in mind. What causes us as believers who are walking with Yahushua to become intoxicated? Is it not the world? Isn't that exactly what we're taught in Revelation, chapter 17? He says in verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. What that means, they have entered into an alliance. Think about what fornication is. Think about the fact that this is a woman. Think about the fact that he said kings. And when a man and a woman come together, they are now joined. They are now connected. This is the point. This is the thought here. So he says, verse 2 again, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, the fact that the world has been made drunk means that they are not walking appropriately because they've been intoxicated. And what does it mean to be intoxicated? That means that you have been poisoned. See? That the Abba does what he does and make it do what he do, to coin what Marie Dewey oftentimes like to say. See, what we just learned today by everything that took place is that the love of Mighty One has been poisoned by the doctrines of the world. We learned that today. Abba make it do what he do. At some point, I hope everybody's following along and see that Abba is with us and he has never left us, has never forsaken us. It's he who sets all of this up. But anyway, let's get back to our passage. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, so he carried me away into the spirit in the wilderness And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and a woman with a red and purple and a scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, meaning the union that was made with the kings or the rulers or those who have power on this earth. And her forehead had a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations and princes. I was leading and guiding us this way for a reason. He wants us to see something as it pertains to us walking with Yahushua. You know what's interesting? The way Abba has designed his word, which takes us to our pillars, right? And this is why these pillars are oftentimes reiterated. Hopefully people are getting it. When it comes to understanding Abba's word, he taught that there are four different things that we need to understand his word. Number one, we have to acknowledge that Abba's word was given by inspiration, opposed to what the world likes to think, that the Bible is a book written by men. Let's understand how it was written by men. These were men who wrote and who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are Abba's thoughts coming through the individual who he selected. Once we come to that realization, what we also come to is the importance of pillar number four, the Hebrew language, and what it is that he did with that language, right? So there's a word that we want to take a look at, and you find this word in number 8446. In the Hebrew lexicon, right? Now, we talked about this word before, but we want to just look at it again in context of what we're talking about, right? Walking with Yahushua. Now, the word itself is the Tau, or the Tav, the Waw, and the Resh. You pronounce that Tur, or Tur, if you prefer, right? Now, this is a verb meaning to explore, to seek out, to spy out. Think about it. And it was used in several different ways, right? This term, you find it in Bamidbar, chapter 15 and verse 39, which reads, "And it shall be to you for a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commands of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring." Now, the term translated from the word door is seek. But listen to what he's talking about seeking. "And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes." Our own heart, our own eyes. In other words, he's talking about human nature, which again, sinful nature, which again, deceptive nature, which again, is the nature that keeps us in bondage to the opponent. After which you used to go a-whoring. Why did he use that terminology? Well, he's talking to his wife. You see, Israel is the wife of Yahweh Elohim. And whenever they went outside of the marriage covenant and they wanted to sleep with another man synonymous or symbolized by another deity, God or goddess, take your pick, as we learned in the battle of Mount Carmel. Take your pick. Israel was the adulterous wife of Yahweh Elohim, our forefather. Not all, but most. So he said he gave us these strings to wear so that when we look at them, we're supposed to keep in mind Torah. Now, I mentioned that for a reason. See? Because Abba likes to be poetic in his word. In Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, chapter 2 and verse 3, listen to what Brother Shlomo writes. He said, I sought in my heart. I just wanted to get to that part right there because the word sought is the same word, dor. So it implies seeking. But depending on the context that the word is used, when you think about seeking something, you know what it takes? It takes putting one foot in front of the other. You're not going to seek something out just standing in one place. I mean, you may initially, but at some point, you're going to have to actually move around. See? But listen to what it is and that word, right, that was being sought, context. It was the heart. You see? Now, I mentioned that in connection with mentioning Torah. Because when you look at the word Torah, as it's spelled Tar, right? Wah, Resh, which is our word, which means to seek, to search. But then it has another thing on there, another letter on there, which is the Hey. So now you have the word Torah or Torah. So what he's teaching us, we're supposed to be seeking out who's the Hey. That's what we're supposed to be searching for, the Hey. See, let's go back to the language because, again, Abba created the Hebrew language to teach us something. Abba taught us years ago that when you get to the tetragrammaton, it's more important than just what he's called. Of course, we understand, in addition to the name being what he's called, it points to, as far as Shem is concerned, it points to the reputation. You understand that, right? The renown. That's why he said he was going to make his name great. That's why, as we learned recently, going through the story of Jericho, Rahab and her family, they only heard about what Yahweh Elohim did through his people. And they were afraid. Because Yahweh Elohim's name was made great, right? Okay, so now, not only does the tetragrammaton point to those things, but when you break it down, the first letter, Yod, guess what that points to? That points to the Father, okay? But then the next three letters, the He, the Vav, and the He, they point to the different manifestations of the word of Elohim, the word of Yah. That first He, and that last hey, right? The first hey points to the word in the form of Yahweh Elohim. Of course, we know the Wav points to the form of the word as Yahushua HaMashiach. But that last hey, it points to the word in the form of Ruach HaKodesh, which is what we are given. See? And it just so happens that what Abba said he was going to do, he said in the new agreement that I'm going to make with this adulterous wife of mine, I'm going to put my word in her heart. And he does that by giving us the Holy Spirit by which he wrote the word in the first place, which takes us right back to the first pillar of understanding Abba's word. It's written by inspiration. God breathed, in other words, right? So we look at the term dor, which means to seek, to search. And when we add the hate to it, we're being taught that we're supposed to seek to search out by way of his word. See? That's what our lives consist of. So when we think about walking with Yahushua, we have to question, where are we in our journey? Where are we? Are we still on the pathway of seeking what thus says Yahweh? Or, let's go back to another example that we learned from our beloved rabbi, Gershom ben Daniel. You remember when he was talking about that ship? and how that rudder only has to be off by a small degree. Now, what's supposed to be a straight line from point A to point B eventually ends up just being off minutely, right? From point A to point C, or from point A to point B, or from point A to point E, depending on just how much you're off. Where are we in our journey? Are we still on that straight path? Now, let's talk about that straight path in the context of being a farmer, right? What we also learned about the letter, or the letters, Allah, we just so happen to come from a family of what? Farmers, herdsmen. So, of course, we know that the Aleph, and we're looking at it from a practical level now, of course, we know that the Aleph points to the ox. And we know that the ox, because of his strength and his power, he was often used to pull that plow, right? Okay. Now, the Tav points to the muck. In other words, when you're working that ox, you are also doing what? You're guiding that ox. Keep that in mind. Because you have a specific mark in line, because you want to make a straight line from point A to point B, from the Aleph to the Tav, right? You want to take the Aleph to the Tav, in other words, right? Okay. Abba established his word in a variety of ways to teach us, and everything that we're talking about is still in alignment with us walking with Yahushua. Okay? Because we can look at Yahushua as being that ox, being the strong one, the powerful one, the mighty one. And his intent and purpose is to do what? Holy Scripture teaches us that he gave us an example that we should follow after his footsteps. So if we follow after his footsteps, the scriptures also teaches us in another place that Mashiach is the end, but don't think of it as the context being the end as if we don't have to obey the Torah anymore, but think of it in the context as the end, meaning if we walk according to what Yahushua HaMashiach does, guess what? We're going to end up being obedient to the Torah. That's what it means. That's what they're going to end up being when we follow after his footsteps, because what we're also taught by Holy Scripture is that he obeyed his Father's commandments. Anybody that teaches you that Mashiach Yahushua no longer obeys his Father's commandments is teaching you a lie. Because if he obeyed his Father's commandments and the very Holy Spirit, which is one of the manifestations of the Word of Yah, right? Yahushua HaMashiach, again, we heard all this before, right? Yahushua HaMashiach, indwelling spirit, the Messiah in me. He gave us the spirit of his son, whereby we cry, Abba, right? The same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The same yesterday, meaning when he walked this earth, today, meaning right here, right now, and forever and always, he is going to obey his Father's commandments. And if that being is dwelling in us, what do you think he's going to lead and guide us to do? But the same thing he did yesterday, today, and forever, right? Walking with Yahushua. But what we have to keep in mind still, right? We still have that humanity. Although we are considered to be righteous, that humanity part of us sometimes makes mistakes. Sometimes get caught up. We have our squirrel moments, right? And that old serpent, the opponent, he is a master illusionist. Remember we were taught that years ago? He has the ability to make things appear in a way that they're actually not. You know what that means, right? That means he's very good at telling lies. I believe Mashiach said it this way. He's a liar and the father of it, right? So if you're the father of it, that means you're pretty good. And because we are still in the process of growing and developing, guess what? Sometimes he's going to slide in and he's going to get us tripped up, as was mentioned earlier. Okay? Keep these things in mind. Walking with Yahushua. One of the points Abba wants to make, don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. One of the problems in the Corinthian assembly, right, was division. I follow after this one, I follow after that one, et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that the exact same thing that's going on among Israel today? I follow after ISUPK, I follow after IUIC, I follow after this one, I follow after that one. Isn't that the exact same thing that's happening in Israel today? In other words, what we're learning is that some of us, guess what we're doing? We're still philosophizing. We're still caught up in that same question, did God say? Not realizing sometimes it's not God speaking. Sometimes it's that old serpent called the devil and Satan who has transformed himself into an angel of light. Still quoting the word, still quoting scripture, but misinterpreting, misapplying, and in some cases, mistranslating. See? So we have to be careful and be mindful of the snares that the opponent sets for us, okay, when we are walking with Yahushua. So he says in one place, he says, to examine yourselves to see whether or not Yahushua HaMashiach be in you. How do we do that? Well, we have to make sure that what we're doing, how we are living, is in accordance with Abba's word. So what did he do to ensure that? Well, in one place he says, he gave or he set up apostles and prophets and teachers, etc., for the perfecting of the saints, which takes us to our second pillar when it comes to understanding Abba's word, right? When it comes to being a representative, a spokesperson for the Most High, be it priest or prophet, Abba is the one who teaches that person his word. That person is not learning the word on their own. Abba is opening up that person's mind and teaching them, and then that person in response has the task of teaching others. That's how that's supposed to work. That process has never changed. But what has happened today, people are going to the word based off of their human nature. And they're teaching the word based off of their human nature, which is what? Sinful nature, which is deceptive nature, which is the nature bound to that old serpent. This is the reality, harsh reality. Nevertheless, it's the truth. Okay? So we have to be mindful. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes a messenger that's led by the Most High won't make a mistake. But in that case, what does that mean we do? We go before Abba. Because guess who has absolutely and positively no problem correcting any of his priests or prophets? Abba don't. And we learned that from Genesis to Revelation. He has absolutely no problem saying you're wrong, go back and correct that. No problem. So what that takes in us as being followers after Yahushua, right, is believing what Abba says in his word. You see? See, what the Most High is able to do, and just took you back and on another thought that I just mentioned. what the Most High is able to do. He's able to speak to each and every one of us. We all receive revelation from the Most High because we all have individual and personal relationships with the Most High through Yahushua, right? But sometimes that old serpent creeps in and has us believe in something that may not necessarily be true, but because it is appeasing to our nature, it's something that we grasp on and we want to hold on to, okay? That's what the idea of being deceived is about. What he does, he plays on our emotions and how different things make us feel. When everything that makes us feel a certain way may not necessarily be of the Most High. How do we know that? Where do we learn that? Because we are being taught, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? So sometimes we may feel something a certain way. Sometimes we may even think something a certain way. And what are we also taught in Holy Scripture? There is a way that seems like it's right. The question we need to ask when that passage is examined, right? What does it mean, seeing that it's right? And furthermore, what are we basing that on? Are we basing it on what the word says, the unadulterated word says? Excuse me. Or are we basing it on how we feel personally or how we think personally, right? Think about it. Think about what's going on among Israel today. Think about the great division among Israel today. And when I say Israel, I'm not excluding anybody. I'm talking about anybody who considers himself a Hebrew, Israelite, or a Jew. Whether you black, whether you white, whether you otherwise. If you classify yourself as being one of the people of the book, why are we so divided today? We all claiming to walk according to the word. Why are we different? Somebody is caught up into their feelings about what they think the word says. Somebody is caught up into what they personally think the word says, because we are not being led by the Ruach HaKodesh. That's because our spirit brings together. It does not divide. It is a spirit of unity. It is a spirit of love, you see. Do a research on the word Ahaba and the word Akkad. They both equal 13. And you add 13 plus 13 or 13 times 2, guess what you got? 26, which is the numeric value of Yod, He, Vav, He. In other words, one of the essences of the Tetragrammaton or of the word is unity and love working together. When there is division, as Brother Shaul said, are we not carnal and walk as men? In other words, we still functioning in our human nature. So if we're still functioning in our human nature, the question we have to ask, are we following after the steps that Yahushua laid with us? Because according to what we learned, he was obedient unto death. You see? So at some point, you ever seen these cartoons? And somebody follows some footsteps, and then somebody lays down some fake footprints. And then the person who's following after the footsteps, they see the steps. They don't realize that somebody, the enemy, they had covered up where the steps actually went, and they put some fake steps to go somewhere else, and they end up going off the pathway, and they following the fake steps. See, even in these cartoons, I'll be giving us a little insight into how that old serpent works. That's what he does. You don't realize you just went off the course, because it looks like they're the same footsteps, but you don't see up ahead that old serpent or one of those minions that's played a trick on you. In your mind, you think you're walking the right way still. You think you're still on the same journey seeking out Yahushua HaMashiach, but once you get to a certain point, then you get to the realization, I was off track. Hopefully, you come to that realization before it's too late. Some people follow that and eventually fall right off the cliff. See? Now you're lost because you done went off track. And sometimes it's hard to backtrack because you know what that old serpent will be doing as you're going, as you walk in accordance to those fake steps. He's erasing, he's wiping out all the steps behind you. So you ain't going to be able to get back to the point. So what do we do? That's when we get to what some people like to refer to as rock bottom. See, we fall off that cliff, we hit rock bottom. Now what we got to do, we got to cry, we got to call out to the Most High. Now, think about the word Shua. Some people have an issue with that word because it means to cry out. Well, that's what we have to do. We're crying out because we want salvation. We want to be salvaged. We don't want the doom and the gloom. We want to receive the promise that Abba gave to our forefathers. Sometimes we get caught up in these situations and we have to cry out to him, which is perfectly fine. You know, people, especially being a man, real men don't cry. Where'd that come from? I'm crying all the time. I'm crying more often nowadays than I ever cried before. Even as a child, from what I can recall, I'm doing more crying out to the Most High as a man, an adult man, 55-year-old man, than I ever did in my entire life. And you know what I cry out and I ask Abba for? Direction. I didn't got caught up in the snares. I don't want to get caught up in snares anymore. I want to make sure that I am walking with Yahushua. See, that's why Abba put it on my heart and my mind, because of what I did by going off track. You see, sometimes Abba, he pulls back. And he allows that old serpent. And we talked about this before. You know, when we read in Job, that conversation that the opponent had with Yahweh Elohim, and Yahweh Elohim said, have you considered my servant Job? You think that was written just for Job? It wasn't. Those things written a fourth time, written for our learning. That conversation happened with every Israelite at some point in the course of our lives. Because there's something Abba has to bring out of us, something that Abba has to allow to surface that's in us that we may not be aware of. And you know what I've come to the realization of? I used to think I had patience. I used to think I had patience. Now I realize I don't. I don't have patience. Let me correct that. I realized that I didn't have patience. Now I'm working on having more patience and waiting on Abba. That's why I cry. I want direction. I want to know what to do because I don't want to put forth my hand to do something that's only going to cause me more problems, because I done caused a whole bunch of problems for myself. And right now I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. So I'm like sitting on my hands and I'm waiting. I want to know which way you want me to move, because I don't want to move without you telling me. I done already messed up. I don't want to keep messing up. Let me know. I need direction. You see, better teach me what it is I need to do to walk with the Messiah. One of the things I learned, again, being patient. Abba got this. You know, an example today, as I shared earlier, woke up during the middle of the night. I would put on my mind, put the question out, did not know I would be teaching Blog Talk Radio at the time. But guess what? Abba knew. Already had the word written out for me before I wrote it out myself. Oh, follow me, though. This is who we serve. And I know, as was mentioned last week, and will probably be mentioned again, it may sound cliche. People probably hear this and, you know, oh, here we go again. Yahweh leading the congregation. Yeah, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. What else? But isn't that something that you're supposed to boast about? Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in Yahushua. Come on now. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? It ain't boasted in me. And I don't think any of the Murea boasted in themselves, because I know absolutely nothing if you ask me. I only know what Abba shows and reveals to me. That's it. If Abba don't show it, if Abba don't reveal it, I don't know it. So what about that I can boast in myself? I can boast in the fact that he's leading, that he's guiding, and my hope is that you hear this boasting and you recognize he's leading and guiding us. Because sometimes those other voices out there that sound good to us and may touch us emotionally, or something may sound logical and reasonable to us, but you don't realize the adversary just wiped some footprints away. And he made his own set of footprints. But because they quote the scriptures, you don't realize, we don't realize, guess what? You just got taken off course with the word. Didn't he teach us that? Those things written aforetime were written for our learning. See, Brother Shaul wrote that, and he was looking back to the Old Testament scripture. Now, we're beyond the New Testament scripture, and we can look at the New Testament scripture because now we have more information. So there's a temptation that took place, right? Yahushua HaMashiach versus the opponent, right? And don't you know, in one of those scenarios in the narrative that we have in front of us, before us, that old serpent actually quoted scripture to Messiah? How do you think Abba inspired that to be written? He's teaching us sometimes our enemy is going to use the very word we say we follow to take us off course. Isn't that exactly what he's doing with Israel? Because you ask anybody from any camp, they will tell you they are walking according to the Torah in spite of following something that the Torah does not explicitly teach. Think about it. This is the battle that we are engaged in every day of our lives. While we're sleeping, you know what that old serpent's doing? He's plotting, he's planning, he's scheming how to get us to lose faith. And he almost got me. I'm going to share something with y'all. I think I shared it with one person. And I'm going to share it with y'all. The whole suicide thing. See, what y'all don't know, actually about to do that. But you know what Abba did? Matter of fact, I made a video of it after the fact. I had the gun in my hand. I was pulling it up to put it to my head and pull the trigger. But you know what I did? The gun went off. Before I got it up there, I even got a hole in the wall, and I kept the shell as a reminder. That day I did that, I would have been gone. I was ready to blow my brains out. All that's going on. Y'all don't know that. Some of y'all probably don't even care, but that's fine. It's something I had to go through, you know? This battle, this struggle is real. And it's all on the inside. And all of this based off of Nair, the minefield, the bedclothes that I put myself in. So I regret the mistakes that I've made. And in my mind, I'm thinking there's absolutely nothing I can do to fix it. So I was willing to give up. But before that happened, I looked at it as divine intervention. He didn't allow me to put that gun to my head and pull the trigger because he knew I was about to do it. Because, see, at first, see, I put out something some time ago. Then one of the brothers, they caught it. I put it up there, and I put it up on IG, and I put it up on Facebook. But then I took it down off of one of them, and I forgot that I put it up on the other one. And one of the brothers caught on to it, and then everybody was all concerned about it. But when I wrote that, I was real. I was serious about it. And eventually led me to the point where I almost did it. But if it wasn't for Abba, if it wasn't for Yahushua intervening, I wouldn't be talking to y'all right here, right now, today. But I had the thought, and I was about to go to the action. All because of what I got myself into. So now, what I have to learn, I got to be patient. I got to wait on Abba to fix this for me. Because there's nothing I can do in my power to get myself out of my situation. So I have to be patient. And sometimes the being patient is what drives you insane. The not knowing of when. But then he gave us examples. And sometimes, like, come on, please don't let it be 25 years, Abba. You know, when he look at what happened with Abraham. You know, and I go through the devotionals about patience and endurance. And then they talk about Job and all that Job went through. And then you ain't been through nothing comparable to what Job went through. But, you know, it may not be comparable to what Job went through, but it still has an impact on me nevertheless. And it made me feel like not wanting to be here. It may not have been as much as what Job lost. But when you go through loss after loss after loss after loss, sometimes you just think about, dang, maybe the Most High isn't with me anymore. And I'm not saying he's not with me in the sense that he's turned his back on me. Maybe I did something that was so bad, I'd have gone off course so much that he's not even with me. That's how I was feeling. So if he ain't with me, what's the point of being here? I'm done. You know how they say it? Life says, you know what, then you die. That's how I was feeling. Life says, you know what, then you die. And that just commiserate over and over. And at some point, he had to smack me and say, snap out of it. And he take me through his word. And those devotionals, they were helpful. Reading about what everybody goes through. Everybody has this period of suffering in their lives. And it's like, even though we know, as we've been taught, he never promised us a rose garden, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was brought forth later on, well, those rose gardens got thorns, et cetera, et cetera. Even being taught that don't change how you be feeling mentally and emotionally because you don't want problems. Nobody wants problems. You don't want to have to deal with issues. But sometimes that's what's going to happen. And it has to happen. And that's what I had to come to the realization of. Something that you already know, you teach about it, but it's like when it's happening to you, it's like, come on now. Really? And it's done impact our faith. Because what that old serpent wants us to stop doing is relying on the Creator. He's supposed to protect you. And this is something that happened to me. Your word says, right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So that old serpent had me thinking, hold up now. There were weapons formed against me. And guess what? They prospered. They stole from me. They took from me. So that's not true, Abba. That's a lie. Weapons was formed against me and they prospered. You were supposed to protect me. And you didn't protect me. That's how I was feeling. So if I don't have the protection of the Most High and I've gone so far off course that I don't feel like the Most High with me, what's the point of living? So Abba, again, had to take me through his word over and over, devotional after devotional, looking at Joseph, looking at Job, looking at the different forefathers, our ancestors, and what they went through. Everybody had a period of time when they had to suffer. So I had to come to the realization, sometimes I was going to allow that. Because we have to be strengthened mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Because guess what? We have to develop balance. See, let's go to the scripture. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, right? Let's go all the way down to the bottom. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 12. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 11. And this, in Eastwood, it's titled, Warning Against Apostasy. It says, of whom we have many things to say. Of course, this is a reference to Mashiach Yahushua. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Elohim, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, their growth and their development has been stunted. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. This is the reason why Abba took us the route that we've been going. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Now, what we can do right now, right, we can make a comparison. So strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. So now, what does it mean to be of full age? So if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, we can make this comparison. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in the Messiah. In other words, to be spiritual means that you are now able to eat the strong meat. But listen to what he says, though. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And it's the and evil part that we don't want to experience. But in order for us to grow and develop to the point that we can now eat that strong meat, we got to go through the evil parts. And while we go through those storms that we refer to as the evil part or the trials or the tribulation, that's when it becomes overwhelming to us. But what Abba got to tell us, squat! It's easy to stand behind that beamer and teach that. Now comes the time when you get to yada, see? You got to live that. You got to experience that now when you talk about it. It ain't just a good teaching. Something that you have now experienced is under your belt. Nobody can ever take that away from you. You know this not because somebody said something to you about it, not because you read it in a book, but because I taught this to you from what you actually went through step by step. See what I'm saying? And the fact that he says, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, that's where our balance comes from. See? Being able to discern what's good, what's evil. How everything we've been talking about together, fam. That equilibrium, which is tied to our hearing. What is it that we have to hear? I had to hear his word. That's why it was by his spirit he moved me to listen to the devotional after the devotional after the devotional. And what he was doing, he was strengthening me by his word, learning about what all these people had to go through and helping me to see, son, you're not alone. But in all of these, see how I was able to deliver them. So fall back and let me be what I will be to you. See, when he was introduced, or prior to being introduced to Israel, right? He asked, what your name is going to be and all this good stuff. Right? And when he said, right? I will be what I will be. Do we understand that individually we have to learn that for ourselves? We have to learn that whatever we need Elohim to be, he gonna be that. But we got to go through the trials and the tribulations. We got to, you know, grow up, be adults. And it's something I'm learning and pertaining to my children, right? I was naive. I'd have shared this story before, thinking that because they're growing up in the truth, they're going to grow up to be righteous, only focusing on them, not getting caught up into all the false religions, not even considering, if I'm honest with myself, that ain't all the world got to offer is false religion. It's a whole bunch out there when you go to the candy store of this corrupt world. You see? There's a whole bunch of truth from and all of our children, once they step out the house, it's like when they step out the house of the boundaries of the Torah, and then they see everything that's around them, and not only everything that's around them, everything that their age group is doing around them, guess what they want to do? They want to put on their big boy britches, and guess what they want to do? They want to go out there, and they want to test their adulthood, because they know, I ain't got to do what Abba and Ema say anymore. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I had a son that told me and his mother that. I got to learn based on my own mistakes. Well, guess what? He learning. See? You never know what those mistakes are going to bring. He learning. As I told him recently, you chose that. You picked it. He's aware of it. He knows it. But you picked that. I warned you against that. Your mother warned you against that. But you got to learn from your own experiences. There's a saying. Wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. One of the things I can say, and praise going on to be to the Most High, I learned from the mistakes of others. Because guess what I didn't want to do? Be locked up. I like having the freedom to be able to go and come as I please, so to speak. The idea of me being locked in a room with somebody else and having to smell their poop when they run toilet in that cell is different when you're smelling somebody else's poop. You're sitting in that bathroom, you smell your own poop. Eventually, you get accustomed to it. But smelling somebody else's poop, that smell lingers. You smell it the whole time. You don't get accustomed to that because it ain't come from you. All of that is supposed to teach us something. See, it's teaching us, see, our own foolishness we become accustomed to and we can't see it. That's why I would have to allow that old serpent to come in. And see, that old serpent, it's like a twofold thing. What time is it? Okay. It's like a twofold thing. The old serpent, he's doing what he's trying to do because he's trying to get you off of being faithful to the Most High. But the Most High, he's allowing him to do it because he wants us to see the strength that we have in him, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of our Heavenly Father through his word, Yahushua. He allows these things to happen. Because guess what he wants us to do? And this may trip y'all out. You know what Abba wants us to do? He wants us to put on our big boy britches. And guess what? He wants us to be able to walk in his word. And understand what I'm saying when I say what I say here. He wants us to be able to walk in his word without him. You understand what I mean? He's always going to be with us. He's with us because his spirit resides in us. I believe Murray Dale Wild brought this up. It's like when your parent is teaching you how to ride their bike. Your parents don't want you to be riding their bike, and they beside you running along, holding it all the time. At some point, the parent want to be able to let that bike go and see you go on and ride that bike on your own. That's what we're talking about. So Brother Shaul, he said it this way, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. I thought as a child, But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So he gave us the whole process we've been talking about from the beginning of what every child goes through, learning how to walk. At some point, that parent is proud. All of us who had children, if you had a camera at the time, you wanted to capture your son or your daughter taking those first steps. We got a still got it on my phone, I believe, a video, because at that time, people had cell phones and stuff. Video. We got a video of Michaela taking her first steps. Walking, falling, getting back up, walking, falling. Eventually, she got it. Those are proud moments. If those are proud moments for us, looking at our children, guess what? Abba allowed us to have that experience because it's going to be a proud moment when he sees us walking without him having to hold our hand. But not walking and following after that old serpent, still walking and following after the steps that the Messiah laid for us because he overcame this world. All we got to do is keep lockstep and key with him, and we're going to overcome. But sometimes, that old serpent may trip you up. But see, it's during those times where family, mishpacha, is important. See, that's when you think, when you talk about being a zaken or a zikna, right? An older man or an older woman, right? And I'm not just talking about an age. That's important too, as it refers to the practicality of life. But I'm talking about in this walk, being an older man and an older woman who have been walking with the Most High. See, something that Abba he's taught, and I believe some of the Mureh have also shared this. Sometimes we go through things not necessarily because it's a problem with us. Sometimes we got to go through things because Abba knows down the line somebody else going to need this help. So let me send this brother to it, or let me send this sister to it, so that when this brother or this sister starts to go through the same thing, they see when they get caught up in that trap. They know because they done been there, and guess what else they know? I know how to get you out of it because I had to get out of it. I had to learn. See, I was on my back. See, that's why a lot of times when we fall, what we end up, we fall, bam, we flat on our back. But then what we got to do? We got to roll over. We got to get on our hands and our knees. We got to start over. We got to, you know, get that balance. To be able to pull up again. And what is it we pulling up on? We pulling up on that word. That's what we pulling up on. And then we got to hold on to that word again, and so we can, you know, we can collect ourselves, you know, before we start to walk again. Make sure that, you know, we have our equilibrium, see? Make sure we have that balance. And then we start to walk again. We may start off slow at first, but then eventually, because we back into practice of following after the Messiah, be able to pick up that stride again. So when we see our brother or we see our sister overcoming a fault, guess what? You can help them now. Help them. That's why we go through these things. I don't want us going through these things because he wants us to have miserable lives. Abba has us going through these things because he told Moshe, when you bringing them out, tell them they're going to be a nation of priests to me. You know what that means? The nation of Israel. I'm going to use them to be a help to one another. That's what they're also talking about. See? Well, fam, my time's just about up. So it's been a pleasure, as always, giving praise, glory, and honor to the Most High for allowing me the opportunity, unbeknownst to me, and I believe unbeknownst to y'all too, to share what Abba talks to me about, you know? And it's interesting how all of this was just last night in the midst of Sabbath evening when he woke me up and he put on my heart and my mind, Yahushua. And that question still remains, fam. Walking with Yahushua. Where are you as an individual in your journey walking with Yahushua? Where are you? Are you still on the right pathway in your heart, in your mind? Are you still following after him? Have you been caught up in the artificial steps of the opponent, that old serpent called the devil and Satan? And this is a question that we as individuals have to ask ourselves. Nobody else can answer this question for us. We have to ask and answer that question for ourselves. Where are we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praise, joy, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name, Abba. Thanking you for your grace, for your mercy, your compassion, and all that you have bestowed upon your people Israel. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to us or unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Abba, again, I pray that if anything that was spoken out of turn or incorrectly, that you bring forth that correction so that it can be made for the sake of your sons and your daughters. I thank you on behalf of Israel for allowing me once again the opportunity to share with them what you have shared with me. And I pray that your word is engraved upon our hearts and upon our minds, that it gives each and every one of us the power that we need to be transformed in your image and after your likeness, and that we are not conformed to this world system. However, for those of us, again, who are struggling, help us. I beseech you in the name of Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach to help each and every one of us, because you know what we as individuals need, Abba. Oftentimes we come before you and we ask for what we want, but I pray on behalf of Israel, on behalf of Beth Yahweh camp, and on behalf of every camp, whether it be ISUPK, whether it be IUIC, I pray on behalf of every Hebrew, every Israelite, every Jew who has a sincere desire to walk with you, to worship you, and be in accord with your spirit, that whatever it is that keeps us divided, Abba, by your spirit, you remove it so that we all work and we function, that we're not poisoned, Abba, that the love of Mighty One, which is your word, poisoned by the filth of this woman's fornication. In Yahushua's holy and his most precious name, we pray. Amen.